Let us explore the Bible together on Glorious Morning Study Hour on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
We live in a world where anything goes, right? And there's constant digital noise. And one would then wonder, how does a follower of Christ stand out without just standing off to the side? Now, as we wrap up our segment on the Scripture Spotlight Bible Principle, we're going to be looking here at the outward expression of our inward faith. We are talking about modesty. We're talking about media and the way we treat our neighbors. And this all in a context of today, real time, the 21st century. It's about more than just what we avoid, you see. It needs to be about what we represent in our private spaces, in our public spaces. So join us as Elder Mangena will be helping us make sense of it as we conclude the story and the conversation and the lesson on Christian behavior. Mtala, good morning to you again. And thank you so much for taking the time to be with us.
Good morning, and good morning to all the listeners, and may the Lord bless us all.
Amen. Thank you so much. We appreciate you joining us as we are doing our study right here. Now, we are concluding, Dala, with the lesson on what happens on the outside. How do we deal with others? And when you look at the Bible, for example, It promotes the sense of a simplicity, 1 Peter chapter 3, especially when it comes to issues of dress. It uses words such as modesty and inner beauty. How do we do this and challenge, in fact, today's fashion-driven culture?
My leader, and thank you so much for the question.
Mm-hmm.
When yesterday
we're losing you, Mtala.
Sorry,
Mangena, we're losing you.
Is it back?
You're a bit. Yes, much better now.
Yes, the floor I'm at. Apologies, the floor I'm at. We always have a problem with network.
Oh. Okay.
At work, yes, but I'm hoping it will hold now.
Now you're much clearer. Yes, you were saying.
I was saying that yesterday when we were looking into the issue of health,
mm-hmm.
but of course that was not the end of the story.
Mm-hmm.
Today now we look into now what is it that we dress this body, mm-hmm. as the question that was asked yesterday, that don't you know
mm-hmm.
that the body is the temple of the Holy
yes.
Spirit? So not as much as yesterday we dealt much about the inside of the body, things like how to take care of the mind, how to take care of your body itself, the things that we eat, the things that we drink, smoking and all of those things.
Yeah.
And also the things that we think about so that the mental health can be okay. But now we cannot only take care of the inside of the body. What about the outside of the body? Doesn't it matter how we present ourselves or how we appear as the believers in Christ, as those mm. that believe that Christian behavior goes further mm. than just a set of rules, yeah. but rather it's a lifestyle.
Yeah.
So Paul then speaks about the simplicity. Peter also reiterates the same thing. And he says, and as much as it looks like it was addressed to mainly to women on the issue of dress, and for many years, it has always been interpreted that way, where you find men generally so, where you find men wanting to put rules and regulations about what women should wear and not wear. But when you look at it carefully, it's an overall thing. It's a general thing. It has nothing to do with gender.
Okay.
But the issue was, how I looked at it, the issue was the stumbling blocks. Paul says, don't be a stumbling block to the fall of your brother or your sister. Okay. So, what we have to care about now is, now that we understand what Christ expects of us, what God expects of us, when we appear to the world, are we dressing like the world or are we as simple as God expects us to be?
Mm.
Now, In many cultures, modesty is defined differently.
True.
For example, in other cultures or in other places, Christianity was brought in the mentality that says women should not wear pants or trousers. Mm. But then you go to India, you can't enforce such a thing.
Yeah.
Because of, for them, there's a difference how women wear there,
yeah,
even though there is a bit of pants, how they dress. But you can see the modesty that covers the body properly,
mm,
and that does not degrade the body of a lady or a fellow sister. And then you find in other cultures where you will have other sides of the world where the same church will say that men should not wear women's clothes. But then you go to Nigeria, you go to the Arab-ridden countries,
mm-hmm,
where though they are Christians, but their way of dress is a robe.
Yeah.
And for them, they can differentiate between a male robe and a female robe, or whatever that the culture or the custom will be of how they dress. But when you look at it, you can see the modesty. You can see that there's no nakedness. There is no degradation of a human. So therefore, modesty then becomes, as Paul was at pains to explain, to say that let's preach the Christian gospel,
okay,
the gospel of the cross, that is a stumbling block to the Jews, but also it is a foolishness to the Gentiles,
mm,
but it is strength to those that believe. So this very same message of the cross, when you look at it, how people interpret it, when it came to Africa, there was a way of interpreting it, but unfortunately, the ones who brought it to Africa, they were European and American. They were Western. So they brought it in how they understand the gospel through the lens of their culture.
Yeah.
But that problem was not new. Even Paul had to contend with such from time to time. And when you read the book of Acts and the letters of Paul, he's at pains to try to explain, to say, let the Jews practice Christianity in their Jewish understanding,
mm,
without breaking the principles of God.
Mm.
And allow the Gentiles to also interpret Christianity in their Gentile cultures without breaking the principles of God. So meaning, don't make all Gentiles Jewish in Christianity. You get the point.
Yeah.
So therefore, even in how they dress, don't make them Western. Don't make them Eastern. You know, let each side of the world define modesty in their way. That will not degrade the dignity of a person, and at the same not to become a stumbling block to any other person out there who is there. Because of now, the outward is not about God, because God is not really in a way stumbled by whether we are naked or dressed. He is God after all. But he's saying it's about you, the way you treat each other, the way you look at each other, the way you are with one another, the way you are considerate with one another, you see. So, therefore, the issue of modesty will always be an argument, my leader. And you know, our time is very small. But if we were to have a deep discussion about modesty and dress, it will take the entire day.
Yeah, that is truth. That is truth. I like how you are bringing out the importance of principles, right? And we see this in Philippians 4:8, where Paul then says, you know what? I can't go around telling you, watch this, listen to this, be involved in that, do it like this. I will not finish all scenarios. But all I can tell you is principles such as look for things that are trustworthy, look for things that are noble, look for things that are pure, you know, and so forth. Talk to us a bit about how this principle helps people filter rather than looking for examples of what can and cannot be done.
Now, here's an issue, my leader. We said yesterday that the mental health affects almost everything,
mm-hmm,
the entire human being.
Mm-hmm.
You see, when Paul then says to the Philippians that whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are trustworthy, you know, always meditate upon these things. He's saying things that are positive, things that bring strength to your mind. So that when your mind is okay, then you won't have a problem with the principles of the outward. You see, when now you are told, okay, your dress or your pants are too tight as a man, and therefore you will end up in a way sort of like advertising things that should not be advertised. You know, it doesn't become difficult for you to understand once the inside is okay.
Yeah.
And I remember, sometimes we resist because of inwardly, spiritually, we're still not yet in a level that God wants us to be. And then some of us as leaders of the church, we become exacting in principles or in our interpretation of principles into a point where we even add certain things that God did not even add because of its human nature.
Yeah.
You know, we spoke about it more to say Christ was at pain to say to the Pharisees, you have added on top of what God said. You know, God is trying to make this thing simple. But yeah. In us adding the too many rules, sometimes it's about personal comfort. It has nothing to do with Christianity anymore. Mm. So therefore, the principles of God, the pure principles of God, are lost because of interpretation, either on the side of rebellion or on the side of trying to be pharisaical about the rules and the principles. So there are two sides of extremists. One is rebellion, and the other side is trying to be too exacting, you know, too much. You are becoming too much on the people without putting a proper balance. So this principle, my leader, Paul is simply saying, be simple. Have positive things. Think upon those things that are positive. And once the mind is on the positive, you won't have a problem in understanding things that bring dignity to Christianity, to yourself, to the church, to God himself, and to the religion itself.
Yeah, you won't have a challenge indeed. You will not. I also wanted us to look at the point that is raised in Ephesians, for example. There is this call to, I mean, one once actually said, Christianity is a religion of joy, right? Jesus first, others second, and you last. So that's the order of preference. The Bible will say, prefer one another before yourselves, and Paul encourages to walk in love. Talk to us about how Christian behavior is not just about our personal habits, but more about how we treat and esteem others around us.
Yeah, now this is the one part of Christian behavior that is tough. Because of now we are dealing with people's emotions now. Mm. We are dealing with people's feelings and different perspectives and how we look at things and how, you know, the annoyances around us or us ourselves being an annoyance to somebody else. You know, when Christ took the 12 and made them a team of leaders, they were not in the same mind. We know it. We have seen it. Sometimes they will fight bitterly so among themselves, the 12. And Christ will have to come in from time to time and say, no, but these are the things that are done by the world, where they fight amongst each other. But for you, you must love one another, care for each other. No, it shouldn't be like that. You shouldn't behave the same way as the world behaves. To say that because of I don't feel good about something, I want everybody therefore not to feel good about it.
Yeah.
You see, but when I make you a family, this is Christ now. This is just me adding to the ways of Christ. If I'm making you a family, and I'm saying to you, be tolerant with one another. Be forbearing with one another. You see, have the level of love that is deeper than the world will understand.
Yeah.
And Christ puts a cherry on top and says, when you love one another, the world will know that I have sent you. Now, understanding this principle, then Paul goes further and tries to make it simple to the members of the church. He says to them, love is not like this. Love does not do this. Yeah. Love is like this. Love is like that.
Yeah.
So he's saying these principles of love, you know, they are part of human behavior. They are part of Christian behavior to say it is natural to be short-tempered. But Christian behavior says learn to be patient. Mm. You know, it is natural to be a gossiper.
Yeah.
But Christian behavior says learn to keep it to yourself.
Sure.
It is natural to talk about people, you know, but Christian behavior says, remember Matthew 18, keep it to yourself up until it's matured enough for discipline or for correction. You know, in Luke, the same words that are found in Matthew chapter 18, in Luke, there's an extra line that Luke writes and says, once you agree the two of you, it must end between the two of you. Yeah. So nobody else needs to know. That's a principle of love. That's the foundation of what Christianity is all about. It's all about care for one another. So in Ephesians, when Paul says Christianity is laid on the principle of love, he's simply saying care for each other, love one another. But you see, the biggest problem with Christian behavior is this. We bring ourselves into Christianity and we want to remain the same. We are stuck in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Come as you are. Okay. We don't want to go further where it says be as, walk as he walked, as John will write in one of his letters in First John. He says, walk as Christ walked. Yeah. And then in, again, the very same John says, at the end of the walk, you shall be as Christ is. We should not be stuck in Isaiah 1 that says, come as you are. Because of, there are many who want us to, or who expect people around them to accept them the way they are. You know, in our vernacular language, a person will say, bazongijwayela. No, they'll get used to me. There is no such Christianity. Christian behavior says change. If you are a pro, if you are harsh on to people, change, because of Christ expects you to change. Yeah. The transforming of the Holy Spirit expects you to allow him to change you from being short-tempered to becoming meek and long-suffering. And Moses is one of the best examples. He was one of the most short-tempered people, but later we find him as the meekest of them all. Change is possible. You can't remain the same, because of love does not allow us to remain the same. We need to learn to change.
And you know, one thing that comes to mind is how this kind of behavior you're encouraging us to be and have is the very makeup of heaven, right? To say, if you want to make it to heaven, this is the people, how they behave there. Be found behaving like that already here, you know, talking about kindness and so forth. To say, these are things that are the outflow of this Christian behavior, being like Christ. One author would even write and say, godliness, God-likeness is the goal that God has for his children, right? To be like him. Thank you so much for the lesson this week. We are totally blessed. We have been edified. We are truly grateful for what you've done. Closing remarks as we close off from you, Mdala.
My closing remarks would be, it is natural, it is a propensity towards sin that we expect people to validate our feelings. Mm-hmm. But from time to time, we find in the Bible that even God himself sometimes did not validate even the feelings of his own prophets. Yeah. When Elijah expected a God who would respond to him in his suicidal prayer, but God responded differently. When Jonah expected God to respond a particular way, God said to Jonah, but what am I supposed to do with those people that are innocent, who don't know they are right from their left? Yeah. So this issue of us wanting our feelings to be validated, it is actually not a Christian thing. A Christian thing is, let your mind have power above your feelings. Let your thoughts be more powerful than your feelings. So if you feel like killing a person, your thoughts will tell you, but it's not a Christian thing to shout at a person, to curse at a person, and you find yourself stopping right there.
Amen. Amen. May God help us. May his Holy Spirit imbue and saturate us. I think it's Ephesians chapter 5, which says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Thank you, my elder. May God bless you. Until we chat again next time.
Thank you so much, my leader. Thank you.
Thank you. That's our elder, Elder Mangena, sharing with us this week as we are talking issues of Christian behavior. This conversation, of course, available as a podcast.
Have you missed out on any interesting discussions from Adventist World Radio SID Media? Simply go to www.sidmedia.org to listen to all podcasts and previous shows. Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.